Matthew chapter 28:16-20, the Great Commission is the last sermon in the study of the Gospel according to Matthew. We have spent 2 years and 3 months since the beginning of 2014 to systematically understand this first book of the New Testament. This is our 90th sermon in this series. We thank God for helping us through in this study. Thank God for helping us to persevere, to know the will of God for our lives as we allow God to speak to us in the way He has written the Bible. There is a good reason why the Holy Spirit places the Gospel of Matthew as the first book of the New Testament. It leads the four Gospels in declaring the life of Christ. I believe it best presents the continuation of the story of redemption from the Old Testament. You see, this gospel that we have, how do we receive eternal life? Well, it came from the Jews. To Israel was committed the secret to eternal life. The Savior, the Messiah that was predicted to come in the Old Testament, Matthew recorded for us, has come. And what is the link there? Well, Matthew provided for us the link by giving the most comprehensive genealogical proof that Jesus indeed is the Christ. This is what we see in the beginning of the Old New Testament, the genealogy of Jesus Christ. You recall this first message that we had when we begin this series, how Jesus was the Jewish seed. It is the link to the Old Testament, back to Abraham, and how he was the royal seed. Matthew chapter 1, verses 6 to 11. Link again to David the king, who was given the promise that one will rule out of his loins, that will sit on his throne and rule forever. And the seed of the woman, the woman's seed, how Jesus Christ is born of a virgin. Never before. How can a virgin conceive? Well, this is the supernatural birth of Jesus Christ to tell us that He is the sinless Son of God. Because He is that sinless Son of God, the Lamb of God that will take away the sins of the world, we know that this is the Christ. This is the Christ whom we can trust for our salvation. God chose Abraham to begin the Jewish nation through his grandson Jacob as God's witness to a dying world, a world without God. And God chose the man David, the man after his own heart, to unite all Israel to serve the one living and true God. He will bring forth from David's loins his foremost son, Jesus Christ, who will rule the world at his second coming. Do you know that the greatest promise, prophecy in the Bible that is yet unfulfilled is the second coming of Jesus Christ? When he returns, he would rule the world from Jerusalem. He is that king that will inaugurate his kingship on earth for 1,000 years. And we would be reigning with Christ in the millennium. And how Jesus chose that virgin girl, Mary, to be that vessel, the lineage of David through Nathan. Not the prophet, but God's, David's own son, to bring forth the Savior. And so Matthew provides us the link that indeed this is the Christ. And you know, when Jesus began his ministry. How he had power over the physical realm. He healed all sicknesses, calmed all storm, stopped the winds. He even raised the dead. No mere man has that kind of power. What am I doing here? I'm rehearsing for you this Christ, whom we have spent time studying. That this is the Christ that we will proclaim to the world. And God wants us to know Him very well, His capability and His mission. He has power not only of the physical realm, but He also power over the spiritual realm. The demons were defeated. The demon possessed were restored. You remember last Lord's Day, we saw the life of Mary Magdalene. How we spoke of her at the sunrise Easter service. She was possessed with seven devils. And how she was healed. Jesus has power over the spiritual realm. If you are a child of God, no evil spirit can touch you. And how Jesus called the people to repentance, to be reconciled to their Maker. He is the means appointed by the Father, the mediator appointed for men to be reconciled to their God. He fulfilled all the law in His lifetime on our behalf. And you know, in the last 9 months, we saw how He was persecuted, betrayed, and He was led to be crucified on the cross to bear our sins. He is the Lamb of God that will take away the sins of the world. How His body was broken to take the punishment for our sins. Last week at Good Friday, we rehearsed the truth, how Jesus shed His blood to wash away our sins, how His body was broken in order that we may have forgiveness of sins, and how the world darkened during the time when Christ was on the cross. And you know, God timed it such that we have our study at the close of Matthew's Gospel, a Good Friday. And then the Easter sunrise service last week, Matthew 28, 1 to 15, we saw or we witnessed the resurrection. And you recall how the women folk who loved Jesus, how they were there so early at the tomb, that Sunday morning before daybreak. You know, they were very sad because this master whom they followed, who did so much for them, died. Somebody that they knew they can rely upon died, disappeared as it were. And then suddenly they saw the resurrected Christ, that He is alive. This is the greatest mystery or the greatest truth, that God sent His Son and that He died and He rose from the dead, and that the greatest enemy, death, has been conquered. You know, we are speaking about heaven and earth shaking truth. A heaven and earth shaking gospel message, good news that God has for us. And He tells us that we are to bring this message to the world. And so last week, you recall, we saw in verse 10 of Matthew 28, the disciples were so afraid, the ladies who were with them at the tomb, Jesus said to them, "Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me." And so the disciples were told this message. And here we are in this scene in the mountain in Galilee for this final message of this gospel. This is a very practical message. God will now give to His disciples His last words before He will ascend to heaven. Next week, we shall see the scene of Christ's ascension to heaven, as we begin the study of the Acts of the Apostles. You see, a person's last words are especially important because it conveys the essence of what the person has for his posterity. Jesus is going to give these last words before he ascended to heaven, and he wants us to pay great attention. He wants us to see the message that he has for us. And I have used the indefinite pronoun all. You see in our text from verses 16 to 20, the indefinite pronoun all is repeated several times. And these are the thoughts that the Lord wants us to see from this text. As I meditate upon it, the Lord wants us to see in sharp focus what he wants us to do. This is an action message. After you have spent so much time sitting now knowing who the Christ is, now is the time for action. And the Lord is not going to be on earth any longer. He's going to ascend to heaven, and he's giving this mandate, this great commission to his people. And he wants you to listen carefully to this commission. ABC of the Great Commission. Three thoughts. All power. All nations, all things. This is what you will see in your text. And all the way. Right, the last phrase. Lo, I am with you all way. The word there is not always, but all way, all the way. And I would like to outline this text for us by the indefinite article all. Three thoughts. Christ's authority, all power, Jesus says, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Jesus is saying to us, making a powerful statement of the power that he, or the authority that he is given to make this message. And secondly, Christ's building plan. That's the next thought. He has that authority, and he gives that commission, and he wants us to obey it, follow it. This is the marching orders to all his disciples. And he tells us that we are to go to all the world to make disciples, to preach the gospel. And then he tells us that he will be with us. Right? Christ's authority, Christ's building plan, and Christ's company. Right? All power. The message to all nations and all, to teach them all things. And finally, he will be with them all the way. And that's something that the Lord wants us to see and think and consider. You see, this message was first conveyed to the women folk, as we said earlier. The disciples were excited. They were filled with great joy of the prospect of meeting their risen Christ. You see, he is their master. Right? All that they have came from him. But they were miserable. Many of them, well, in their life, they were plagued with one problem or another. Whether it's illness, whether it's a disease of the heart. The Lord healed them. And so they all understood. And they all know what Christ has done for them. And that's why they are there, gathered by the instruction of the Lord to be in this mountain. Right? Verse 16 of our text says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. A mountain is a landmark. It was on the mountain that Jesus first gave his sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 to chapter 7. And it is on a mountain that he would give his last words. As he stood on the mountain, the Apostle Paul tells us that there were a group of people that were gathered together. And I believe that it was not just the 11 disciples who were there, but there were many others. And from the text that he has given to us, he tells us that this commission is to be given to all. This mandate is for all. And, you know, here our text tells us that those who were assembled were the 11 disciples, minus Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. And these 11 disciples were handpicked, who followed Jesus for 3.5 years of his earthly ministry. And they will be entrusted with the mandate to reach the world in his name. And what is the time frame of this scene that is before us? There is a commentator who made the calculation. He says that this scene occurred between 20 to 35 days after his resurrection. It would take them a week's journey to travel from Jerusalem to Galilee. And Jesus met Peter and John on the shore of Galilee. You remember in John's Gospel, chapter 21. And how he restored Peter and how he commissioned him 15 days after the resurrection. And we want to tell you also that on the 40th day, right, our Lord would meet his disciples one final time at the Mount of Olives, where he would be ascended to heaven. And so this is the time when he would meet them, and he would, and you know, next week we would see the scene of his ascension. And so when they met him, what was the response of the people, of the disciples? Jesus was worshipped, our text tells us. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. This is the incarnate Son of God, God in human flesh. And, you know, he demonstrated the truth of the resurrection by his presence before them. And the Lord wants us to see with our mind's eye, through the scripture, through the eyes of faith, that indeed Christ rose from the dead. And, you know, it's interesting that Matthew recorded that some doubted. Only God can see the heart, right? How is it that Matthew is able to be given this divine insight into the hearts of those who were assembled there? Well, we realize that this book is divine. It is from God. Right? The Holy Spirit moved the men of God to write, to show us the truth. And, you know, it's interesting why it is recorded that they doubted. Well, if you imagine yourself in that situation, it is a mind-boggling phenomenon to see the risen Christ. And therefore, they had to take a closer look. They have to feel him and see that indeed this is the Christ. And when they saw him, those who were with him, when he was with them, they knew that this is the Christ. And so, you know, while they may have doubted, but all doubts would have been cleared when they see the risen Christ before them, speaking before them. And he spoke to them, and he said unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He says here that his power, this word literally means his authority. He is the one who is the Lord of heaven and earth. He is the maker of all things. And He is speaking here. He is the man with the authority to speak. Because He is God Himself. And whatever He speaks counts. And so this first thought, the Lord wants us to know the authority of Christ who is speaking here. Who is this man, Christ, who is speaking these words to say that all power is with Him in heaven and in earth. There is no man that is able to make such claim except He be the God of heaven. And He's telling us that He has authority over all the world, over every created being, over every man. How He wants us to bring that message, that gospel, that transcends, that goes beyond language, culture, religion, nationality, color, race, whatever class of people. He tells us He is their Lord. He is the Lord of this world. He is the Creator. This is the God of heaven who is speaking. And He has all authority, not only in the physical realm, this is what He's trying to convey to us, but also in the spiritual realm. He is Lord over the angels, over the demons. All spiritual creatures are under His authority. And this is what the Lord wants us to know. And you know, you recall how Jesus confronts demons and how the demons were so afraid when they saw Christ, because they understood His power. He can banish, and He has banished them to the eternal fires of hell. And so the Lord wants us to know that this is the God who is with us, who with His authority has commissioned us. And, you know, we are to carry out this great commission. We are to fulfill this plan of redemption that He has entrusted to us and carry it to its fruition. And so this first thought tells us that you are under orders. God has spoken. The Maker Himself has given the commission. And you, as a member of the local church, are given this first commandment. And the Lord will glorify Himself through this redemption plan that He has inaugurated. And He wants you to participate in this plan for His glory. And what is this one plan that the Lord is giving to us? Well, it is to save souls. And this is the text that gives Jesus' commission to us. And it is an authoritative mandate. You have the backing of the Almighty God as you carry out this plan. And it means that there's no power that can resist Him, that can stand against Him, as you carry out His commission. And that is the meaning of this first phrase. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Christ's authority. And secondly, Christ's building plan. He tells you that you are entrusted with His authority to carry out this mission. And He tells us how you are to carry out this mission. The building plan. Right? All nations, all things. Verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. You are to put the goal on the gospel. You are under commission, and you go with my authority, Jesus says. Go ye. And this is what we are saying here. This is a message for every one of us in the local church. Every member of the local church. No one is exempted or omitted from this commission. And the Lord wants us to see, right, that we are to go. The church will not fulfill its function if we will not go. And that's why the first objective in our constitution, our church constitution, is to save souls. That's the first objective. And the Lord tells us that we are to put priority in the saving of souls. And it begins with us going out there. And He tells us that we are to do this work personally. Right? You are to go. You are to go and you are to speak to someone to influence him. Right? The phrase there is go and teach all nations. Oh, the word there to teach, well, is an action word. And it speaks of an ongoing action. It means to make disciples of all nations. You are to go and you are to influence men and women to know the Lord, that they may be saved. They may be plucked from the clutches of the punishment of hell and be brought to the bliss of heaven. And this is the only gospel that we have. This is the only message that Jesus saves, and only Jesus saves. And He is the way, the truth, and the life. The only way to heaven. If His people will not go, they will not be filled with the Spirit to understand the mandate that He has for us. Then the world would perish without a message. But God has initiated this commission, and He has tasked you to be His witnesses, to influence men and women for Him by your time, by your resources, by your influence. You know, we spend 6 days a week in the world. What are we doing while we are in the world? The Lord tells us that you bring the greatest glory to His name when you obey His word and be out there to be an influence for men and women. By your life, you influence them to know that there is a God in heaven who made us. And because of our fall, this sin nature is in us that brings sorrow to our life and ultimately death. There is no other solution to man's problem except this gospel. And you have to be convinced. We have spent 2 years, 3 months to go through the life of Christ so that we may follow Him to every nook and corner of Israel as He went about His ministry, to help us to see that this is indeed the Christ, that all who put their faith in Him will receive eternal life. And He tells us that we are to go and make disciples. We are to go and influence men and women to God. This is a mobilizing commission. It is a mandate to His church. to go out. We have printed tracts. We have printed invitation cards. And we urge you to obey this commission. Having received so much from God, every week we come together. We enjoy our Christian fellowship. We enjoy our time together. Wonderful. But do we realize that there is a world dying out there? You know, I was brought to an understanding of this truth in a very interesting event. We were spending time every week singing in a choir. And we were enjoying ourselves, enjoying the bliss of Christian fellowship. And, you know, one day while singing, something very interesting happened. There was a bird that flew straight at us. And we had a glass door. And, you know, we saw the bird flying toward the window. And it crashed. And it fell. What a sorry sight to see the bird coming in, you know, seeing perhaps the blessed fellowship that we were having. And realized that it cannot come in because the door was shut. What was the message to me? Well, I understood that, you know, we are enjoying ourselves because of what Christ has done for us. We have everything we need. Everything we have ever need. Because we have Jesus Christ. But there is a world out there. If we would not open the window, if we would not go out, that is perishing. And the Lord wants us to see and know and understand. That we are to share this blessing with the world. And so the Lord, in His words, tells us the scope of this mandate. We are to make disciples of all nations. Why did God choose Israel? Israel was a nation. Because the plan of God was to reach out to all the world, all the nations of the world by the witness of that nation. But how they failed the Lord. And the Lord will begin His church to be His witness. And we, the local church, is raised of God to be that witness to the world. Next week, when we begin the study of the book of Acts, we would be able to understand by living examples what God wants us to do. What do you mean by fulfilling the Great Commission? The Lord will show us, and you see how the men and women living in those times, they were filled with the Spirit of God. Their whole life is given to God to serve Him, to declare the good tidings of redemption in Jesus Christ. What more do we want in life? We have all that we need to enjoy in this life because God is with us, and the Lord wants us to spare a thought about the dying world and be a part of this redemption plan. And so this first thought, Christ's building plan, His commission to all nations, we are to make disciples, we are to go out. There is no nation in the world that is outside His commission. In other words, there is no one in your neighborhood that Christ would not want you to reach. There is no one that is outside the system of God's salvation plan. And so He wants us to know the scope of that mandate. We are to make disciples of all nations, and then what else are we to do? We are to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. You know, when Jesus began His public ministry, He was baptized. By being baptized, He identified Himself with us. And you know, how did Jesus conclude His ministry on earth? You see here how He's commanding that baptism be made, that it is not an option. We are to make disciples, and then, as one pastor says, we are to mark them. We are to baptize them. We are to influence them to the Lord, share the gospel with them. And when they are saved, then we are to bring them to obedience in water baptism. What is the significance of this? Well, it is a witness to the world that His sins have all been washed away, buried with Christ in His death, and risen with Him in His resurrection. And so we are to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And we are to teach. The last part says, verse 20, the beginning, to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Then here we see how the Lord tells us that we are to teach all the commandments of God to the people whom we are making disciples of. You are to teach them so that they may know the will of God for their lives. If they have a problem of anger, then you show them how they can overcome anger. If they have a problem of violence, you can show them how, by the power of the Holy Spirit, they can overcome violence. If they have any spiritual problems in their lives, we know that the Word of God provides us the solution. Envy, jealousy, crookedness of life, dishonesty, all these things, the Lord tells us, you are to help them straighten up their lives. And first you must straighten up your own lives first, right? So this commission tells us that we are to prepare ourselves, that we can be a blessing to the people around us. If you are a father or you are a mother, then before you become a father and a mother, you ought to be prepared to know what the father and the mother is supposed to do, so that when God would give you children, you will know how to bring them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, teaching them to do all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So we are to teach them all the counsel of God. And you know, when we have helped someone to know the Lord, and they have been brought to Christ, and they have been prepared. Here we have the catechism class, where they would study the Word of God and be grounded in the truth of God's Word, and they would be prepared for baptism. But after baptism, what are they supposed to do? Well, the Lord says you are to teach them to make disciples, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So the Lord is saying to us that, you know, our work doesn't end there. When we have made a disciple and we have baptized them, then we have to help them to mature. And after they have matured, what are they supposed to do? Well, they themselves are to be disciple makers. We are not merely to be makers of disciples, as this pastor says. Very well. We are to be makers of disciple makers. We are to go and we are to make disciples, and then we are to baptize them, and then we are to help them to multiply, mature. And then when they mature, they would be like you, given that commission, sent forth, just like what Jesus did in his 3.5 years when he was on earth. He sent the disciples off. Initially, for short periods of time, he observed them. They came back, they report to him, and he showed to them how it is, what is it that they are supposed to do. This is the secret of church growth. When the people of God are mobilized, every one of you, then you would see church multiplication, church growth. And the Lord wants you to know that you are commissioned, and he has given you the authority. Heaven and earth's power is backing you. And he tells you also, thirdly and finally, in closing, Christ's company. He will be with you all the way, always. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Indeed, amen. You are not sent forth alone, but you are to know that Christ's presence go with you. I'm with you all the way. And that's very important. You know, every time you give out a tract, every time you speak to somebody concerning Jesus Christ, the Lord is saying to you that you are not alone. You are going out in his name, and he will help you. His presence will go with you. He will be your company. And you know, as you study the book of Acts, later on as we study, you will be able to see how Christ was with the disciples at every critical point. He appeared to them, he spoke to them, he was with them. And as you look at the life of Israel, it was the same thing. You know, when Israel returned from exile, after 70 years of captivity, the prophet Zechariah gave to them 7 visions. And the first vision speaks of a man sitting on a horse, at the myrtle trees. The myrtle trees are trees, you know, once you crushed it, it's sweet, but taste is bitter. and how Christ's presence was with the people of Israel in their afflictions. Christ's presence is with you when you be a witness for Him. He is with you all the way as you fulfill His commission. And, you know, the Lord wants us to see the link there. Right? The Lord says, go. The Lord also says, lo. Go, and lo, I will be with you. If you are willing to go, you will not be alone. Christ will manifest His power to go with you. His authority is behind you. His Spirit is within you. And the task is before you. And He is asking you to go. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The ABC of the Great Commission. Christ authority, all power, verse 16 to 18. Christ building plan, all nations and all things, verses 19 to 20a. And Christ company, all the way, verse 20b. These are the last words of our Lord Jesus Christ to you. This is the last words of our Lord to the church. And He wants you to fulfill it. He wants you to be prepared, to prepare yourselves. You know, you said that I don't know how to share. I don't know what to do. The Lord will enable you when you pray. His Spirit will guide you. His Word will give you the means, the wherewithal, and His authority will back you. And so the Lord wants you to know what you are to do. We are living in the last of the last days. The Lord is coming again. It's no accident that we are housed in a building like an ark. The judgment to come will be by fire. And there is no way out but up. The Lord will come and receive His church to glory at the rapture. And only in Jesus Christ there is safety. The world may not know. The world is preparing for the rise of the Antichrist. But we know. We know from the Word of God that we are living in those days, and we don't want to be caught off guard. But we must be fervent. We must understand the signs of the times. Don't be like a Lot. Don't be like a Samson. But be like a Paul. Be like a Peter. The church has that mandate. And it is up to you and I to fulfill it. May the Lord give us His grace to do His will. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank Thee for giving us the Great Commission, the authoritative words of Christ to send us forth, and the building plan, what we ought to do, and the very presence of Christ's Spirit with us. O Lord, help us to see what great privilege we have to be thy witness, and what great privilege you have given to us, that if we will not go, who else would go? If we will not share, who else would share? Oh Lord, we pray that thou would grant thy people spiritual sight to understand the urgency of this commission, that it may not be an omission, but it indeed would be an urgent mission, that it may redound to thy glory as we hasten to thy coming. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.